All right, listen, typically what happens is we sort of launch into the first part of our show with a recording artist. A recording artist who has a fancy website, a recording artist who has a recording contract, a recording artist who has maybe on a Canadian tour. But today, we got a guy who's none of that, who's doing none of that. We got a guy who's doing more than that. Vito became passionate about classical guitar after he suffered a brain injury from a car accident in 2005, and as part of his rehabilitation, it was recommended that he volunteer playing at local senior residences. This really inspired him to share his talent and love of music, and as a result of his brain injury, Vito has become an incredibly talented classical guitarist. But as I said, he's got no website, no recording contract, no Canadian tour. All he has is an unexpected gift that he uses to bless others with. He's here in the studio right now as we speak, along with his lovely wife, Brenda, who's Tori is going to swing the microphone over towards. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Vito and Brenda here on the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you so much for being here. You know, we've had this in the books for a long, long time. Vito, I got to ask you, now that it's happening, how do you feel? How do you feel about being here?
It's a mixture of anxiety, stress, and excitement.
Yeah?
but mostly excitement. To be able to share my story is a great thing. So
it is.
I want to thank you for the opportunity.
I remember pulling you guys aside at our favorite yoga place up there in Orangeville, Ontario, Discover Your Yoga, and getting a bit more of your story. And there's something really unique about you guys, but I think the unique thing about you guys is that you guys don't see yourselves as unique. It's a unique story, but you're really kind of chilled about the whole thing.
Yeah. It's hard to make sense of it, really. I mean, I guess I should give you a background of my accident.
Please do.
I was just driving into work one morning, minding my own business, and there was a minor fender bender up ahead, and there was a police redirecting traffic. So I was at virtually a crawl. And I was rear-ended by a guy who was asleep at the wheel.
Oof.
And the police report says he was doing approximately 110 kilometers. And I was virtually stopped. So, yes. So he just plowed right into me. And it's really bizarre because to not be able to remember something so traumatic and violent like that, it amazes me.
So you have no memory of that?
No. I was, my car was just mangled. The only intact portion of the car was the driver's side. So I had to be cut out of the vehicle and put into air ambulance, airlifted to Sunnybrook, and I was in a coma, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, for how long? How long were you out for?
Yeah, I would say about a week.
Wow.
Yeah, and so what amazes me is that I just have no memory of that. Something so traumatic is. So I remember waking up and becoming aware of what happened to me about month and a half after.
Mm-hmm.
I have no memory of Sunnybrook at all. So, yeah, it was. So there's a month there of where was I?
What was your first memory after the accident?
Yeah, I remember, it was around just before Christmas 2005. I remember my mom coming to visit at the Toronto rehab and some friends coming to visit. And,
could you talk?
My speech was not as good as it is now, but my balance was not good.
Hmm.
I had numerous injuries. Maybe I don't know if you want me to go through a list of injuries.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Well, predominantly, the first one was the brain injury. I had frontal lobe bleeding, and there's bleeding other parts of the brain as well. I had a broken neck. My two vertebrae, C2 and C3, were fractured. And they had to put a titanium plate to fuse the two vertebrae together. And I'm with that right now. And what else? Oh, fractured ribs.
Yeah, shoulder.
Fractured ribs. One of my fractures punctured my lung.
I was reading. Brenda was saying, were you saying get close to the mic or you hurt his shoulder?
Well, actually, you can just go down the whole
down the body
and point to everything, right?
So, yeah.
So do you have, is there a list of how many things were broken?
Yes, there is. But actually, when my brother ran me to critical care because we were running fast when I got there, and I got the list, I figured that I'd run out of time to see him, actually. And I don't think I was aware there was a brain injury. I was more shocked by the fact that there was a list of every bone in his body sort of thing, and his neck. And when I saw him, there wasn't a scratch on him, and I thought, this is great. There isn't a scratch on him. But I didn't realize that's the worst thing.
Right.
That it means everything's internal.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
How long had you been together prior to this accident?
We got married in 83, 33 years ago today.
Right. right. Hold on. Really?
Yes.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So 23 years.
Yeah. Yeah. We, prior to the accident, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And everything was turned upside down after. You know.
So I want to just jump over to Brenda just for a second. The impact this has on a relationship, I've heard, is can be insurmountable. I mean, can be something that you just don't recover from. But you guys are still together.
It's a 97% divorce rate.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
So we beat the odds.
Yeah, we beat the odds.
How did you beat the odds?
You want my opinion?
Yeah, sure. I'd like both your opinions.
Well, yes,
I think because we had that that
history
foundation
before.
There was a history, 20 years or 23 years of being together. And I mean, I've met a lot of people who, and guys, women, relationships that just fall apart after. Because you become a different person after a brain injury. You really do. And so it's a hard thing for a partner to take, you know. And so, and you know, the person who has the injury looks at his caregiver and looks at them differently too.
Sure.
Because
the dynamic changes.
Yeah.
I didn't marry a caregiver. Well, you know, not in that sense.
No.
I married a lover, a friend. So.
So, but that brings me to this question, which is the dynamics have changed, but you guys are still married. And Vito, the reality is you're the one who's changed.
Yeah.
So do you ever get down on yourself about that and feel like you are, I'm sorry to sort of turn this into some melodramatic movie of the week thing here, but, you know, and look at Brenda and just go, you just don't need my crap. You don't need this. You didn't ask for this. You didn't marry this. Do you ever feel like a jerk?
Yes and no. I feel more frustration and anger
towards yourself,
towards Brenda. Like, it's like you just don't understand what brain injury is.
Okay.
I feel like screaming, you know.
But
you
that's
just don't
not
understand
true
it.
That's the brain injury
telling him that.
Yeah. And but she does understand. Or
what do you think she doesn't understand?
The memory deficiencies, the cognitive deficiencies. I'm slower at telling a story and have to find the right word, and she gets impatient and just like,
would you rather, I was just going to ask if you get frustrated when people do, which is, do you get frustrated when people cut you off and try to fill in the sentence and finish the sentence for you?
Yes, she
okay,
does
so
that, yeah.
I'll shut up now. Totally just did that.
I don't think you're frustrated by it when I do it, because you always say, help me out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
but you will say, sometimes I'll ask her a question, any trivial thing, and she says, you realize you just asked me that?
Yeah, there's that.
Right.
There's a short-term memory loss. So when...
What did I say the first time?
So you have to repeat.
And that's when I get frustrated.
Yeah.
Don't remember.
That's tiring to have to repeat the same answer many, many times. So that this is the day-to-day sort of thing that some people might not. I think there's a bigger picture. Vito and I always see this as there's something bigger going on here than the little squabbles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we always look at the universal picture and the why, we look at that. That helps us a lot.
Yeah.
I think if you're only dealing with superficial, it's not going to work.
Okay, well, we've got so much more of your story to talk about, but one of the reasons you're here today is not just to share your story, it's to kind of show off your new talent. Did you play guitar before the accident?
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a tough question for me to answer, how long you've been playing. But yes, I was playing before my accident, but I was losing interest. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, what's this all about? I wasn't playing for anybody. I just played in my room, you know, and I reduced my guitar lessons with my teacher at the time, Red Shea, the late Red Shea, who
we all know from the Gordon Lightfoot days.
That's right.
By the way, can I just totally talk about me for a second? Can I totally step on your story?
Yes.
Because I need to make this about me. It's been so long since I've talked about me. I finally got a chance to meet my childhood music hero, Gordon Lightfoot, a month ago.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Anyway. He's still touring, which amazes me. I'd reduced my lessons, and funny, when after my accident, I was hospitalized for about 4 months almost, and when I came home, it was such a bizarre feeling. It was like I'd been living in this house for 20 years, but it was familiar but unfamiliar at the same time. It's kind of hard to explain, but so I remember going to my guitar room, picking up my guitar and trying to do some of the pieces that I was working on before my accident. I couldn't do it. My manual dexterity, my memory, and I got so frustrated. I really just broke down. I said, what's happened to me? And Red Shea, I remember him phoning to, you know, give his support, who ironically had a brain injury himself back in the early 80s. So he was very supportive. He said, Don't worry about it. It's going to come back to you little by little. We'll rehash all the pieces that we learned, but just concentrate on your therapy. And you know, little by little, it did come back to me. But it came back with a greater passion. I thought, wow, yes, that was supposed to be an F sharp, not an F. You know, and I rediscovered the pieces. And my therapists caught wind of me. Or just found out that I play classical guitar.
Yeah.
And they said, well, my psychologist came to my house to do an assessment, and she says, oh, I hear you play. Let me hear something. You know, and I said, what? I never played in front of people. So I did. I fumbled my way through, I think, Spanish Romance.
Give us a little sample. You hit that thing. You got to give us a little taste. Here's what I notice when you play. I got to say this. When you're talking to me, when you're sharing your story, when we are conversing,
yes.
I see you searching for words. When you're playing, I don't see you searching as hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that true, Brenda? Am I picking up on this correctly, or am I just guessing here?
Well, like we were discussing it before, music is not the brain. I don't think it is.
Right.
I think it involves the heart, and it's a very emotional thing. So, and you're in a different space when you're creating,
right?
Than when you're. And I would say also with when we were talking about picking up the guitar full time now, there's a real search after you lose your identity to find out what your purpose is.
Yeah.
And when you lose your job and your home and your friends and your, you know, basically everything that you knew, all of a sudden is gone and, you know, overnight. It's like, who am I? And what should I do with my life? So the guitar, he's really, really fortunate. He could fall back on that and develop that.
Okay, again, a melodramatic question. Expect no less from a broadcaster, but Vito, has the guitar saved you in some ways? Or is that putting too much on that?
I think it's helped my healing, or my, you know, coming to grips with what happened to me. And everyone says music is so good for the brain, and trying to figure out pieces, and it's great exercise for the neurons. And yeah, I think it has helped me a great deal. But I was going to say, my psychologist, when she asked me to play that, I kind of fumbled through it. She recommended, hey, why not go and play in nursing homes? They would love it. And I was like, whoa, I was petrified. What? Play for people?
And ironically, he memorizes the pieces and never plays from sheet music in public.
Yeah.
But is that something you did before?
Yeah. I was encouraged by Red Shea
to do that.
He said, I always remember a great saying. He said, play from the heart, not from the chart. I thought, yeah. He says, initially, yes, you have to learn from the sheet, but just put it away and try to memorize it.
Yeah. Know?
And
right.
That's kind of tough to do, but yeah, it's the only way you can play with passion.
Well, let's get you to lay down a full song. And what are you going to play for us?
I think the first piece, I remember going to see Leonard Cohen a few years ago, and I was just mesmerized by his concert. And I knew my teacher, my guitar teacher, had a version of Hallelujah, and we worked on it after seeing him in concert. So this is my my interpretation of Hallelujah.
Brilliant. Vito, I just got to ask you before you start, I still have no clue how to say your last name.
Lo Schiavo.
See, this is why I asked. Say it again.
Lo Schiavo.
Lo Schiavo.
That's the Italian way to say it. It's actually two words.
That's quite a romantic. Say it more kind of seductively.
Well, I used to anglicize and say Lo Schiavo.
No.
After we went to Italy, we stopped doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for the first time, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Vito Lo Schiavo. Thank you. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Piero lo schiavo. Lo schiavo. Lo schiavo. Lo schiavo. I can't even say it right still, and I know how to do it.
See if Tori can say it.
Stop it. Vito, dude. Okay, so the first time I heard you play was in a yoga class.
Yes.
And you were like the background music. Instead of having the feng shui tunes going, they had you going.
Yeah.
And it was perfect.
Oh, thanks, thanks. Yeah, I want to do that again.
It was so good. So good.
Thank you.
Especially when you busted out into a little Leonard Cohen. Of course, we know that the yoga instructor is a bit of a Cohen freak. So there was some giddiness happening in the room. And have you heard his son play,
yes,
Adam Cohen?
Yes, actually, in yoga. Yeah, she plays a lot of his music.
He emailed me about 3-4 weeks ago. We're trying to book him on the show for an interview. And very interesting guy. And I love his songwriting. I'm actually, don't tell anybody this, I'm not a huge fan of Leonard's vocals. But obviously he's just a songwriter from heaven, right? So
absolutely.
I want to, Brenda, I want to ask you, what do you miss about the old Vito?
I think one of the problems.
And can you actually be honest about that in front of Vito, or would that hurt
one
him?
One thing that keeps us together is, whether it's painful or not, we talk about everything.
Okay.
My meltdowns, his meltdowns, we go through them together. Mm. So, you know, as 2 days ago I had one. It was just like, wow, he's not coming back. It took me 10 years to figure that out, that he's not coming back. And that's not fair to him, but I only have him to tell that to, because no one else would understand that. That's where he says he gets frustrated. Right. Because what is he supposed to do with that? You know, that's really my inward stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I would say what I miss, what I've gained is fantastic, because all the other stuff got stripped away. And what's left is basically a spirit creature walking around here, creating great music and being empathetic and loving to everybody.
He wasn't like that before?
I would say when you have job, house, responsibilities, schedules, we saw each other on weekends. We worked really hard. And we sort of ran circles around each other the first 20 years, like everyone does. Mm. And now we have the complete flip opposite of that. We're in each other's hair sort of 24/7. So we've had to develop a routine where we're both doing our separate things as well.
Otherwise, you're just up in each other's grill too much.
It's like, okay, can I open the fridge? Can you move? You know, like no one's meant to be in each, you know. Yeah. And I wanted him back so badly after the accident, like in my space. But then you don't realize it's all the time. Like, you know, anyway. What I missed, what I sometimes still miss, is the adult decision maker.
Right.
Because it's a little bit like single parenting. Mm. So the person that you bounce off ideas that are like grown-up ideas, you know, financial ideas, sure, or things like that.
So Vito, if that stuff was thrown at you today, the grown-up, you know, financial, I don't know, whatever, the big, big stuff, what happens to you inside? Do you shut down? Do you get frustrated? Do you just go, I don't know, right away?
I get frustrated.
Right.
I do. But I want to know, and I'm not afraid to ask questions. Well, okay, when's this bill due? How much is it? What's it for? You know, Brenda's always been the financial, you know,
wizard
bookkeeper.
Yeah, wizard. Yeah.
But for example, we just built a house from the ground up, and he'll casually want to know what color brick or something, and then it's off his radar.
It's gone.
So yeah, and then he's practicing a piece, and he wants to know when he wants to know, but when he doesn't. You do it.
Okay, let me ask you this. I want to check in with you on this, because it sounds to me, I have a friend who used to play for St. Louis Blues, who got sent down to the minors. While he was skating around the net, he was checked into the boards. He wasn't wearing a helmet. His head hit the glass and then hit the ice, and he was in a coma for 3 months. Mm. When he came to, his wife had to teach him how to walk, how to talk, how to eat, how to go to the bathroom, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Tim, you remember Ed Kia?
Oh, yeah.
Ed Key is this big farm boy guy, really. But when I knew him, I only knew him post-injury. He seemed like a big, beautiful kid to me.
Yeah.
A big, beautiful kid. And while on the outside, that's all kind of neat and cool and stuff. And then there's a verse in the scriptures that say that talks about childlike faith, and that's how that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
In the spiritual growth of a person. But to live with someone who has childlike tendencies, who is an adult, there's a frustration that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't translate well in the practical.
In the practical,
world,
right.
I'd say.
So, beautiful side of you is the childlike side of you, but like everybody's gift, Vito, there's a backside to that gift.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the backside of your gift is?
The backside, like the negative part? I'm slower.
Okay.
Takes me longer to find words, and I'm not as interested as I used to be in, like Brenda said, the material stuff,
right?
And the monetary material things. I mean, you know, it's a mild like I lose interest in it pretty quickly. So it's like, yeah, okay, that's good enough. Whatever the builder wants to use for brick, yeah, go ahead, just you choose it. And kind of leave me alone.
So,
I don't have as much of a passion for it like I used to. So
Brenda, along with this comes exhaustion and frustration, but also there's a kind of a soulful beauty that's arisen out of this man. I think you intimated that earlier.
Well, the music, the fact that he gets to devote himself to the music, and the fact that he gives it freely to people. I really admire that. And what everyone said, family, friends, excuse me, acquaintances, when the accident happened was, he's such a nice guy. It's so terrible that it happened to such a nice guy. So this guy that you see now is the same person as before the accident. He was always this person. But I think now it's fully, he has the time and fully, all the egocentric layers are removed.
Hmm.
Just like the elderly or any kind of disability removes ego because you're out of the competitive workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're removed from the competitive workforce, you're no longer competing and you can just be free.
Hmm.
And that's what he has.
Mm-hmm. Brenda, what don't you like about you that Vito's vibe? By the way, you got to write a song called Vito's Vibe.
Okay.
That Vito's vibe reveals in you, like his this whole childlike and peace, and you know, the kicking guitar and gentle soul thing and all that stuff. What does that reveal about you? That.
Well, that I have to learn to be more like that. I mean, I had to slow down a lot. I had to, you know. With brain injury, you can't multitask.
Hmm.
And everyone in the workforce knows how to multitask. And everyone in their private life multitasks like crazy, especially with devices. So I've had to learn that it takes 2 hours for breakfast. And it takes 2 hours for lunch. And, you know, 2 hours to have a cough. Everything is very, there's no running out the door, meeting any deadlines. And for me to live my life with someone with an injury, I've had to gear back completely my energy. So what I don't like about myself is when I feel like the impatient part of me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, let's get there, let's go. And then he gets upset and he can't. And I forget. Yeah. That's what I don't like about myself.
Vito, have you ever said to Brenda, leave?
We had a big disagreement the other day, and yeah, we did threaten each other. But for the most part, no. I could never. I mean, I am where I am now is because of Brenda.
Let me play. You know where I'm going with this. Let me play devil's advocate. Brenda, you don't need this. This is ridiculous. I am a burden on you. Leave.
No, I don't. I never think that. No.
Have you ever thought it, Brenda?
When we were fighting a lawsuit for 5 years, when his brain was really scrambled, he used to accuse me of being on the insurance company's side and things like that because I forced him to go to assessments. And
so he got all beautiful mind on you?
So I knew he didn't understand what was happening, but I just thought, I could really do this from another place and then just send the cab around to pick him up or something.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Like, it was just, the living together was very, very intense at that time.
Honestly, I'm sitting here, we started this conversation off by talking about the fact that 95%, something like that, of couples that go through this sort of thing don't make it. And the fact that you have been together, how many years again?
33.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Either something's just dysfunctionally wrong and you're not letting us know, or this is the most beautiful story ever.
Well, we communicate a lot, and maybe we communicate too much sometimes, but we talk about everything, and you know, and I even had a psychologist say, you know, she says, use the word compartmentalize. In other words, don't obsess over issues, because during that lawsuit, that was a really frustrating time.
Sure.
I really felt my case was a slam dunk, you know, kind of, so to speak.
Yeah.
But not according to insurance companies. And so, thank goodness we had a good lawyer, a good law firm.
And is it behind you?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, it is.
But oddly enough, when you settle your case, you think it's all going to be fine now.
Yeah, that's
But it's really all your supports drop away. And you're sort of left standing there going, okay, we had 30-hour support worker a week. We had this, that. We had a big rehab team supplied by the law firm. And now we have nobody. It's back to being just me.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's you're supposed hard. To go out, well, pound the pavement, and find supports. That's what, you know, you're sort of...
And luckily we did. I did. Well, we did. Mm-hmm. And there is an agency in Mississauga, Peel Halton Acquired Brain Injury Services. It's a government run, and we discovered it about a year or so after my accident when I was just lost. And they've been great. They provide supports, social outings, and my support workers wanted me to mention to you that it's Brain Injury Awareness Month. So they've been a big help for me. We do social outings, and I meet a lot of men and women who have been traumatized with brain injuries, and a lot less, who are less functioning than I am.
What about a support group for Brenda?
Yeah.
Do you have that? Do you have, I don't know, survivors of brain injury support group things? Spouses? Partners? Whatever?
I find my supports in the alternative world. I like to seek out that side of the thing, because
what does that mean? You hang out with bikers and tattoo artists?
Exactly. No, just you know, people that help me do relaxation technique and such as that, right?
Yeah.
And the support groups I found for caregivers are a little bit negative for me. A little bit dwelling too much on the day of the phone call, how traumatic it was, and we're reliving that quite a bit. So it wasn't uplifting for me.
No, no.
So fair enough. I found my ways to. Yeah.
Years ago, I went to recovery group thing, and I felt the same thing. I couldn't keep going and listening to everyone else drag me down. I'm pretty sure it wasn't to stick my fingers in my ears and go la 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 la. I don't want to process what's behind me. I think I really had processed what's behind me, and I wanted to go forward. And going to those sport groups, you hear everybody. Like you said, it just drags you down. So I get it. I get it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Can we? Could we maybe get another song out of you, Vito? Was that allowed?
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
My pieces are very sad, melancholy, so that's maybe that's part of the brain injury thing, because I've always been...
So you don't do Feeling Groovy by Simon and Garfunkel?
No.
There you go.
Interesting.
That's it. There you go.
I'm going to do a piece by Eric Clapton, kind of tragic what happened to him when he wrote this song.
This is the song that was written when his daughter fell
his,
off the balcony.
Tears in Heaven, yeah.
Gee, tough. Well, again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, and a privilege to have him here in studio, Vito Lo Schiavo. Vito Lo Schiavo on the Drew Marshall Show. Dude, okay, so first of all, you're pretty good, right?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no,
you.
I'm just, you know, just want to state the obvious. But the other thing is, I keep finding myself, when I listen to your story, I have a spiritual gift of pessimism.
Amen.
Shut up. And I find that you guys have a healthy dose of realism and optimism. And that's a rare combination. Because I keep going back to, man, how do you, like, I've already said this, but how have you guys stayed together, number one? Another one would be, how have you not killed each other? Because, you know, I know enough about the brain injury world that there can be explosive moments. Mm-hmm. You know, Vito, you come across like this pretty laid-back, hippie, mellow, you know, incense guy.
But I internalize a lot, and that's not a good thing, I know.
Right. And then is there a switch? Do you get angry?
Like, I do keep it in. I do internalize. And I'm... Yeah, I do, but I'm good at communicating my anger in a way that's not going to be so damaging.
Right.
Right.
So, in other words, he's not like a lot of brain injury folks that I know who do have a switch and they do lose their mind at the other person. They scream and yell and throw stuff. And
no.
Well, that's like impulse control or whatever, but he's never been that person.
Right.
So that doesn't, fortunately, didn't happen to him with the brain injury.
Right.
He's still the same person that way. But I would say that what the hardest part of his personality to live with would be the dark cloud that comes in sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. So I would say it's depression. Drop into a funk, right? Okay. Yeah. Right.
So I call it, it's a dark cloud. It moves in. It stays for a day, and then it moves out. And during that time, I'm a fixer, so I would try to fix it, and I would get it rained on. So I eventually learned that if you leave them alone,
give it a day,
the cloud passes. It goes away.
Yeah.
And then he'll come around in the evening and say, geez, I was really upset about such and such a thing because I feel like my music is horrible and I'm worthless or something. Like, it'll just an artist's temperament plus a brain injury.
Sure.
So we've learned over the years and years of this, that there's nothing to do about it, really.
Yeah.
You just have to weather the storm.
Yeah, I have to thank the brain injury group that I belong to. They give me a lot of strategies. Other than the fluffy socials that we do.
The fluffy socials. Yep.
Which is fun, actually. That actually helps. You know,
it's
going
good to get out.
Going to a movie. And
you tend to want to isolate yourself when you have an injury.
Sure.
So. Yes, yeah. I think of a Bruce Coburn lyric. Jeez, I forget the name.
Got to kick at the darkness till it bleeds daylight.
that's a good one.
There's so many.
Trying to keep that latent depression from crystallizing.
Nice.
Yeah. And I thought, yes, that's it. It's a daily trying to stop it from coming to the surface, you know. And so I find doing activities with this group and just getting out and doing. Even yesterday, I was kind of anxious about what we're doing here today. And so I thought at the last minute, I looked at Lindsay's, Discover Your Yoga schedule. And I thought, oh, she has one at 5:30. I'm going to go. I was in a bit of a funk and I went, and I'm glad I did.
Why?
Because she's, that's what I find about, I mean, yoga was recommended to me because balance was a big issue for me at the right after my accident. And they, you know, my physiotherapist said, you know, ever thought of yoga? And
my bartender says the same thing.
And at the time, I thought, yoga, no, what's that? But as I researched it, I thought, oh, okay. And then I discovered this place on Broadway, Discover Your Yoga. And I thought, yeah, it's a perfect fit. And she does have a bit of a spiritual aspect to the yoga, which what yoga is, and you know, and plus the balance stretches. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big help. And
Do you know the Muffin Man? Do you know that you have been a big help to her? Well, I'm just going to tell
know.
You have.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I don't go as often as I used to. I should go more often.
See, this is the thing I got to circle back on and end on. You have some idea of the impact you have on people. You have some idea. But I'm not sure whether you really grasp the kind of impact you have on. You're pretty good, and maybe you were like this before the brain injury, maybe it's just more now, but you're pretty good at poo-pooing how awesome you are. It's Canadiana, it's humility, it's your gentle soul, I don't know what it is, but you're the first one to go, it's nothing. Well, it is not nothing. You are a healing resource for a lot of people, just like Brenda hooks into a lot of things to help her decompress. Mm-hmm. You are a lot of people's decompression.
Oh, that's good. That's nice to hear. This group I belong to has a lot of low functioning, and I feel like I'm giving back because I'm, you know, quote unquote higher functioning. I find the workers there see me as a worker, as a help, to help those who are very, you know, low functioning and you know, and I do play my guitar there sometimes at their functions. And so, yeah, oh, that's great to hear. But I'm not a professional.
Stop it. Stop it! I'm so glad you guys came today.
Thank you.
I have been looking forward to this for months.
Thank you.
And I kind of knew that this was going to have an inspirational angle to it. I get that. But I didn't think it would affect me. It's for my listeners. I don't get inspired anymore. I'm a soulless, empty cave.
Preach, brother, preach.
Shut up. But thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Because down deep, I'm still a hope junkie. And I need stories like yours to keep my hope alive. Whether it's relational stuff or whether it's woe is me, and then you do the comparison thing, you go, well, geez, my life hasn't been anything like Vito's, so I need to suck it up. Whatever, right? Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
great.
Can we do another song?
I could end with a classical piece that my psychologist first asked me to play, and I fumbled through.
Really?
This is a famous Spanish classical piece with classical guitarists.
There we go.
It's called Spanish Romance.
Yeah. All right. Hold on, Vito. I got to tell the world that this gentleman's name is Vito Loschiavo, and the only real way to find him is through, what, Facebook? Do we want to give any contact details? How do you feel?
He has an email address.
What's your email address?
VitoLo@ymail.com.
That's VitoLo?
Yeah.
So VitoLo at?
Ymail.
Yep.
.com.
Ymail.com. Dude, thank you.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
Vito Loschiavo. I just like saying that now. Loschiavo. go get an espresso or something. Yeah, folks, let me just tell you again, Vito became passionate about classical guitar after he suffered a brain injury from a car accident back in 2005. And as part of his rehabilitation, it was recommended that he volunteer playing at a local seniors' residence. And it's kind of really taken off from that, really. He was inspired to share his talent and his love of music. And as a result of his brain injury, his world has changed in so many ways. He's become an incredibly talented classical guitarist, but you know, he's just an average guy I met at the yoga studio. Yeah. No website, no recording contract, no Canadian tour. All he has is an unexpected gift that he uses to bless others with, and he did that today.
Thank you.
Brenda, you're a freak.
I know. I'm an artist.
You guys are such a blessing to me. Thank you very, very much. So much more on the Drew Marshall Show. Stay with us. You were perverted too. I don't know how you were inverted. No one alone. Hey, Tori, I got a question for you.
Yep.
Is there anything you'd like to tell the world?
Possibly. Do you want me to tell the world something?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization. Good day,
just,
right?
Just a moment while Tori has a stroke.
Remix.
Okay,
remix.
All right. And go.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we give you an entire show?
That's a great idea.
The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for small business owners. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner, and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show.
That's four times, I think.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times.
And we'll give you a live 5-minute phone interview. Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. So if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with the Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tori the intern.
Tori
the intern. Well done.